visual, just audio.
Okay, thanks so much. Well, Tony and I will get us kicked off. And so, yeah, first off, thanks everybody for joining this afternoon and for being flexible on the schedule. I'll just give a quick overview of the mission for the meeting and then get comments from Tony, and then we can go through introductions and roll call. But yeah, the purpose for today is we did want to put together a draft work plan. And so we want to review that with the team, the content, and also the timeline. And so that's the primary focus of today's discussion. And Tony, anything else you want to add?
Let's see here, Jen. Sorry about that. I had an interruption on my screen. Something popped up. Michael maybe can help a little bit here, but in the task force meeting yesterday, we went to the various subcommittees. There's a large size document that is dated 8/29/23. It lists out the various task force actions as have been identified so far. And what we talked about was the need for us to align our deliverables with that. And we may need another discussion relatively soon so that we can do that.
Okay, good point. All right, thank you. Yeah.
And the other kind of quick point of information, sorry for interrupting, Jen, that at the task force meeting, I know you had to hop off for the ribbon cutting, they all understood that they also kind of showed an updated schedule. So
I was humbled by that schedule. But no, I think the schedule that we drafted before yesterday's task force meeting and seeing how the other teams did more of like 2-day work sessions, so I think we'll just need to kind of drastically shift our model. But is that kind of what you're talking about, Michael?
Overall, yes. I think part of that schedule too, and we can pull it up, is overall the plans due, in November, but we're trying to get an initial draft out early for public comment. So it shifted some of the dates.
Okay, thanks. And I saw John Sims, your hand was up.
Yeah, thank you. So I had this question yesterday during the task force meeting, but I didn't ask it because everybody wanted to make sure they got out to the event on time, and I think it is probably a more involved discussion. But around the plan and the draft, the thing that I can't get my arms around is we're supposed to be making this recommendation from the task force, but I don't understand how we're doing that without any cost estimates or any sort of engineering analysis. I mean, none of that is going on that I'm aware of, but there's no way it's going to happen before that draft is due, or for that matter, before the recommendation is due. So how can we as a task force make a recommendation without having the costs, when this whole point is to lower the cost of energy?
So, Jen, is it okay if I answer that?
Sure.
So we recognize this is like building the car and trying to drive it too. And some of the driver, the big kind of driver for, running these models, looking at costs, there's a lot of research and due diligence, and we know there's a big data gap just from the technical working group and, being able to evaluate and answer these. So at the end of this process, it might be just a high-level executive recommendations that may need further research and due diligence, especially for the immediate actions that we may recommend to the state legislature, that we know there's going to be additional work at the end of this.
Okay. That's kind of what I was afraid of.
The brainstorm that Tony and I put together for this draft work plan, make an attempt to actually start to do, for us to frame up what are our, scenarios and for generation, storage, and transmission, what are those costs, and, what are the different options, and what are the pros and cons? And so I guess it'll be interesting to, as we talk through kind of what we envisioned of, like, the work we thought would be needed for us to give a meaningful report out, and then, what is that versus our timeline, and what's achievable by when? So maybe I'll switch over to roll call real quick, just so we can knock that out.
Yeah.
And
sorry.
Then we can, oh, you're good. I'm guilty too. We'll knock out roll call and then, I'm happy to have more discussion and we can start to go, we have like just 10 slides or like 8 slides to go through. Okay. Michael, can you do the roll call?
Sure. I'm just going to go down the list and just announce who's on the meeting. So Michael Yaffe with Michael Baker International, Brian Carey, Jennifer Miller, Jessica Broker, Mandy from Black and Beach, John Sims, Carl Hyman, and then Mark Lukin, Karen McGilvery from Michael Baker, Tony Izzo, Neek Barat, and Aaron Whitney are all present.
Great. Thank you. And, Tony, a little advice from your end, just because you've had a chance to see the slides, what do you think would be better? Do we go through and kind of discuss as we're going through, or do we try and kind of get some content out and then allow for more discussion? What do you think would be better?
I would suggest we go through the slides and use them as a framework for discussion. I think there are a lot of unanswered questions, and we really need to determine a path forward that might include, I mentioned yesterday, a day or two off-site, brainstorming session. I have some thoughts on John's question because it's very obvious to me also that I just don't believe we have enough time to put a proper scope to what it is that we want studied, but I think we can outline those kinds of things in a recommendation to the task force, specifically with some of these larger matters like the cell, all existing transmission. I don't see where we'll have the data to recommend that, but I do see how that could be turned into a recommendation that is going to likely require legislative support, federal and state dollars, that kind of thing. So I would go back to the question, Jen. I would walk through it and just let's have a discussion on the specifics.
Okay, that sounds great. Okay, so just before we get into the work plan, I'm going to start with just a refresh on what the deliverables are for our subcommittee. And so just to refresh that, it's to develop multiple scenarios for rail belt generation, transmission, and storage. And we want to compare the scenarios, cost, reliability, implementation, timing, environmental impact. So, looking at multiple scenarios, probably a base case and alternatives. And just, I think it would be helpful for the state to know what the pros and cons are of the different options. And then we've also been asked to evaluate the proposed renewable portfolio standard and clean energy standards and provide commentary on that. And then recommend short-term and long-term actions. And so based on our, we had a fun last subcommittee meeting where we got to, get into brainstorm mode. And then what Tony and I attempted to do is take that and, figure out how do we organize that, kind of following up on Aaron Whitney's comment. And so the way that the next slides are laid out is first talking about energy demand, then energy supply, and then policy. And Aaron, I think I saw your hand go up.
And I'm not sure what comment I made that precipitated the organization you just talked about, but I do have one other comment to make. With regard to the previous slide, I just wanted to say, with the comparison of the RPS and the CES, September 7th, the Energy Symposium that's associated with this process, I am going to be giving, or I may have a colleague from Lawrence Berkeley Lab, giving a survey of RPS versus CES progress in states across the nation. Lawrence Berkeley Lab just completed a nationwide study on sort of how both types of standards are working and how they've, about the results have been, and we'll be able to make some general comments and maybe offer, I don't want to offer too many thoughts on the Alaska theme, but want to just put that out there as a pin related to that deliverable.
Okay, so great.
There you go.
And I think you and I had talked a little bit about that last time we were in person, and I did kind of tag you later on in the presentation, so that'll work out perfect. Okay. So just, yeah, these were, on the demand side, these were different topics where we're trying, I guess the goal in my mind is figuring out, you know, what are our scenarios? And so what context do we need to determine what our scenarios should be? And such that we can do analysis was my thought. And kind of the main areas that we've been talking about is, you know, it'd be nice to understand the current electricity demand and what that forecast is, and then how that could be affected by different levels of adoption of electric vehicles and heat pumps. And, you know, and these are just, you know, kind of what I've heard us talk about. And so then I just started to say, well, you know, who could do that, or TBD if I didn't have an idea of who might volunteer for that. The other curiosity in my mind is how a time of use fee structure might impact demand if we're able to use that to levelize demand, especially with electric vehicles. And then, you know, we had a lot of fun last time talking about, like, how do we increase the denominator? And I just thought, you know, these are all different topic areas that when we want to say what's our base case and alternative demand scenarios that we want to analyze against, I thought those would be useful context setting either presentations or discussions. And so I'll pause there for, other topics or different topics people would like to see. And I would probably just ignore this, like, meeting one. I was kind of pacing out some meetings over the next 2 months. But we'll have to figure out how we structure it ultimately. But, yeah, we'd love to hear feedback from the group.
Tony, do you know if, you know, QGH has been actively promoting the heat pump adoption, you know, on their website and with their customers? Do you know if they have any numbers as far as conversions of, I mean, I know it's not high because they're not quite ideal for most of the rail belt, but do you know if they've had any success with that campaign?
I really don't, John, but I recently talked to Homer Electric, and you know, they have a program, and it's something like five, you know, there's been like five. It's a, you know, very small number.
Yeah.
What I've heard unanimously across the system, and I can speak for NEA on this, is that if there's natural gas available, that the economics are, you know, wildly in favor of natural gas. You have to be off the gas system for a heat pump to work in South Central in terms of the economics. Now, I can't tell you, you know, where that technology is headed or if there's some new some new advancement that's, you know, expected to come out soon that could shift that, but that's, yes, as of today, it seems to be on the system. The reality of running a utility is we hear an awful lot about it and see extremely little.
And I see Carl raise his hand.
Well, yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I was just back to John's earlier question and about, you know, are we going to have time to evaluate all this by the time our report deadline is? I really think it is our responsibility to kind of take the kind of information that Tony just reflected and use our judgment then to, you know, make some assumptions, you know, and try to focus down and narrow up the scope of what we're trying to accomplish. And so, in that regard, you know, maybe heat pumps aren't going to make short-term traction, and we don't get a lot of distraction around that, you know, because is that, in terms of, is that really going to lower our energy costs, you know, in the near term? And so, you know, it, to John's point, we're not going to have all the data. It's not going to be all tightened down by studies and reports. But I think this body can use his experience and judgment to just try to put a marker out there of maybe what the goals for the state should be subject to further evaluations and confirmation. So that's just the, that's the first point. And then the second is just I still am concerned about the overall energy consumption in Alaska, including our heating demand. And I think, we've only gone through a couple slides here, but my sense is it may be focused primarily on electricity, and I think we should leave an opportunity for, again, the big picture guidance of in addition to electrical energy, where does the state need to go for its overall energy security picture? So I'll stop there.
Carl, I really liked your comments. I mean, in some sense, too, I guess, not in feasibility or screen analysis, you're kind of just picking different data points to see, like, would we make a different decision with this level of demand? And I wonder if, yeah, at a high level, we could pick, okay, we don't do, there's current trends, but maybe it's, and it would be helpful to know where we're at, but then to say, like, oh, is it 10% adoption? Is it 20 or is it 5? Or just so we kind of know what cases to compare against, because one thing I wondered is with the different generation technologies, depending on what our electricity generation demand is, does some become more or less economic based on the demand amount?
Mm-hmm. No, I get it. And I get it. And if we were, if we are somewhere where the, if we were somewhere where the economics were compelling to maybe even make it close on conversion, then you've got those issues. But if Tony indicates that, gas is wildly more, strongly more economic in the conversion costs and all that, it's, most of the people are going to be interested on how do we get cheaper gas.
Yeah, Carl, I think, and it's just, you remind me too of what, something we talked about yesterday is wanting to look through the lens of affordability, reliability, resiliency. I like what you're saying in the sense that I think if we try to pick a technology and dig into that, we might be letting the perfect get in the way of the good. And I view the recommendations in back of the slide about 0 to 5 years, what are these near-term things that we can do, versus the longer-term things that probably will need some, analysis, funding, legislation, et cetera. I remember the very first meeting, heat coming up, and I recall it was, my sense was, okay, it needs to be on the you can't leave it off the table, but then again, it isn't something that in, my utility experience, I've seen up to 17,000 conversions a year. I know what the scale is and what it took to do that for 12 years straight. And it took 5 years just to set up the process to be able to do mass conversions. And I was in a highly populated state, New Jersey, where a big economic shift, the oil embargo was over, the ban on using natural gas was over. Just the skill sets needed, plumbers, electricians, et cetera, I just think is, we're kind of missing the big picture opportunities, which to me might reside more in the, looking at the institutional reform options with a right. starting point around transmission. Just my two cents.
Yeah, I totally agree.
From the presentation as far as the potential demand, Tony, we're talking about the rail belt here. We just got done doing a demand forecast for all the utilities incorporating, the renewable potential for the next 20, 30 years. Is there any reason why we wouldn't use that as sort of the demand forecast?
Yeah, and for me, John, I think an important thing, you know, as an Alaskan, not just a utility manager, but as an Alaskan, you know, I'm concerned with the, you know, I'm thrilled with the opportunities of beneficial electrification, but I'm also living in the realities that, as I've mentioned a couple times now, 15% adoption of electric vehicles in my service area is going to cause distribution system problems, transformers at residential homes. And
right.
That's the kind of thing when I talked to Glenn Holtman about that, you know, gets us excited about wanting to understand. You know, I can't give you the answer today. I know one first step, one toe in the water is time of use rates. That's my interim. That helps me shift away from having to build additional generation. It lets me drive some behavior, maybe some conservation. That's the near-term fix. I think we don't want to just let it happen and then wake up and find out that you've got a $100 billion issue because the very distribution system can't support federal or state policy.
Right.
I guess that's benefiting a little bit, but I just, you know, want to make a point. Thanks.
Apologies, I can't see the raise the hand button, so I apologize for jumping in. Yeah, I guess my concern, I think, yeah, it's a good point. In the 0 to 5 year time frame, demand probably isn't changing materially and for our, like, near-term generation needs, and so it's maybe in that. I guess I'd be worried that we miss some important context if not trying to understand how these new, how adoption, especially probably electric vehicles, and what that looks like in the further future, and a need to get ahead with fee structures and infrastructure to know what that longer-term future looks like. And so I'd just be worried if we just did, like, oh, flat demand base case, and that was it. I feel like we'd be missing something.
Well, Jen, you know, in my past experiences, you know, we've termed value engineering, which a lot of people use for a lot of different things. But if it was essentially, as leadership or governance, a body would determine what its best information determined what certain future scenarios might look like. And then from there, you would overlay what it would require to facilitate that, the different futures, with what you already had to determine the delta, you know, under different scenarios. And that's because I came from places where we had pre-Civil War gas systems on top of 1920s, you know, cast iron, wrought iron, and bare steel, and then high-density polyethylene. You'd look at it and go, why in the heck did they build four different systems over 100 and some years, and have to figure out, well, what is the system we need to facilitate the future, and how do I get there with what I have? And to me, that, you know, that, I can just throw that out there as it's just how I think about, I look at demand, and I think we could easily come up with, you know, different demand scenarios based on what, you know, John already proposed and others. And then we could talk about regulatory structures to, you know, that might need to be, analyzed in the future to realize that. And we can, you know, we could talk about generation options and fuel options and, some of these you just flat out can't do with somebody else's $1 billion.
Right.
Okay, now that's good feedback. And I guess, and so maybe it's, I think what's a little bit tricky is just the time pressure we're in. And I guess it's like wanting to do, yeah, my feeling of wanting to like answer all the questions and like having to temper that with what's deliverable within a month that is still useful, and doesn't skip over, yeah, but that is useful, I guess. Carl, would you like to chime in?
No, I think you're right on. With in engineering background, and you want to be specific and detailed and do all the analysis, but quite frankly, this group will not be able to do that. So we've got to really focus in on what kind of message we want to deliver. And
OK, Okay, well, should we, I guess as far as...
Let's keep going.
The others?
Yeah, I want to, I mean, I didn't have a chance to review them.
Okay, so this is on the supply side, and yeah, a few different requests for information, but and I think we've had some of this already, but potential to put more information in the room from potentially John Sims' perspective on the utility working group or cooking the gas supply. I thought it would be nice if there could be a presentation just to say what are the different, you know, I would say like maybe focusing on technologies that are ready, the different types of generation and their comparative metrics around cost, reliability, permitting complexity, and others, just so that if we were to say maybe make a recommendation of scenarios that could be analyzed, you know, what are kind of the most prevalent technologies that we, in different cases, we would want to consider, and then similar around storage types. And so, yeah, kind of actually combined here generation and storage. And then kind of a follow-up discussion where we, as a subcommittee, say, okay, based on that information, what scenarios do we think the state should look at for these? And we're just kind of using our judgment to dictate those. Erin?
Yes, I like this meeting flow that's being put together, and I would just encourage the subcommittee to make sure there's time after the presentations to synthesize that information and come up with whatever preliminary recommendations can be designed based on, you know, the information that we have, even though it's incomplete, just so that there is some kind of outcome. So thank you.
I guess if I might, what I mean, this line of meetings and technical investigation that you propose is totally logical in the context if we had more time and money. But I think it behooves us, you know, for example, to say, look, the utility working group stuff that was in front of the John Sims and others put together for the RCA, it's all there. I've read it. It shows natural gas prices are going to at least double in the Cook Inlet. That doesn't get us to 10 cents. So that's off the table. What does get us to 10 cents? And so, you know, and it's either, I mean, we know importing has a price, and the only thing that can get us to 10 cents or lower cost than current is some big project. And I don't know whether it's USITNA. I'm not advocating that. But, you know, I am advocating North Slope Natural Gas. I mean, so I think we need to get past not rehashing like presentation one. We know the answer. So now in the context of that answer, what are we going to recommend? What in our judgment are we going to recommend? It's probably short-term imports with long-term trying to get the stranded gas off the slope in a way that results in less than $15 a million BTU cost, which is our alternative in the Cook Inlet. And I think, okay, and so I think we see that's where we need to go. Storage for me, storage is great for modulating short term, but storage doesn't give Alaska the base load we need for 40 below and no wind. And it's not storage for a few hours. We need storage for days and weeks. And so storage is not the answer in the short term for us. Until these big sand storage batteries get so proven that we're happy with a wind farm charging that storage. So storage is great for short term modulating the grid and supporting the renewables. But it's not our answer for 10 cents. So what is our answer, or what's our proposal for 10 cents? I mean, I think that's the kind of left lateral leaps we need to make as a group. So I'll stop again.
Carl, I look at storage, you know, not to get into the weeds on this one, but, you know, energy storage is, you know, is power, and it is it is fuel. I mean, I could argue it's diesel fuel storage, and it would be nice if the state had a, you know, some kind of a reserve in the event of an emergency that could supply that, you know, that demand in the near term. But in the near term, for me to keep the lights on, I'm going to need gas under any scenario. Even if the RPS, as written, were to pass, even if I could accomplish it, and was on time and didn't have to collect fines from members, I'm still going to need almost half the gas I'm using today. I mean, that's a known fact, that, you know, we've tested different ways and shapes and forms. And so now you talk about, okay, if you're going to need gas, I'll tell you the more interim solutions of bringing gas in are the ones that are going to depend on storage, because I've got to offload a cargo into the existing likely Hillcore fields that are, you know, depleted.
Okay. I get it. The storage of hydrocarbon fuel is real critical. So.
I mean, I'm happy to just scratch kind of the presentation, and maybe I think within this group, maybe we all have a different perspective on what the generation options are and what we think could meet the goal. And maybe we scratch kind of all the presentations and just kind of go into what cases would we like to see as far as a recommendation.
I'd still like to see the rest of your presentation here to see kind of what you thought we could bite off as a group and accomplish in the next month. You know, I'm amazed, but I'm still sitting down, so let's go through and see.
All right, and I thought we had, I didn't realize we had to do a one-month comment period, so I thought we had till the end of October. But, and so, sorry, this is supposed to say transmission. So then, the last topic was on transmission, and, you know, we have talked a little bit about this already, so questionable if we need to talk about ownership options, but an overview of our current system and upgrade scenarios, really. And so, yeah, I guess my hope was that we would kind of look at different generation mixes, different demand scenarios and different transmission, and kind of, I was great to have a cost analysis of the different options to kind of say, how do they weigh out? But yeah, I agree with the timeline's too optimistic. And then yeah, this last one was just on policy. And so actually the nice thing, Aaron, you know, on the September 7th, there's already going to be kind of a background presentation. Because I think the question is, it would be nice to know for other states who've implemented an RPS or clean energy policy, what happened? How did that go? Or what were the lessons or, you know, pros and cons? Because I think if we're going to weigh in on ours, it'd be nice to have, I guess, yeah, I think we all have different backgrounds, and so we can leverage those. But sometimes it's nice to see some lessons and have some points to, other states to point to as we make our recommendations for the state.
And Jen, I look forward to that, but I don't remember what Aaron said was the group that was going to present it, but, you know, I'll be looking at their, you know, where are they coming from? Who are they? Just like we have the RCA that's conducting a similar review, and at least with the RCA, it's pretty obvious to me where they're coming from. They're a regulatory body that wants to ensure the regulatory compact is whole. But, you know, somehow I do think we need to get some information. I think the 7th is the, you know, perfect start to that. But we're not going to have a bunch of time to make a recommendation. As a utility operator, I can say that I support aspirational goals. But I'm going to go back to those three things called affordability, reliability, and resiliency and say, let's set the most aspirational goal we can, but let's not violate any of these three at the same time.
No, that's a good point. Sorry, my mouse is jumping around.
And I thought I saw Curtis's hand go up, but I don't see it now.
It was up, but we moved on, so I'm good.
Okay. All right. And then, yeah, this was the aggressive, ambitious, whatever you want to call it, where we would, you know, kind of talk through those different presentations and discussions, and that's this top yellow part. And then the thought would be that Michael Baker and Black and Beach would be doing an analysis in the background. But, given the context of our timeline, I was humbled yesterday, like, okay, we need to scrap this and come up with a more realistic plan. And so, happy to, I guess that those are the slides. And so, looking for feedback on how the group would like to work going forward. And I see John sends his hand going up.
So since Curtis is here, I'll kind of make the same comment. Curtis, I'm curious what the expectation is from the final report as far as our recommendation. Is it a recommendation to continue to evaluate certain scenarios, or is it these are the actions we should take to get to X?
The way that I'm approaching it, and Andrew, you might want to weigh in, but really, we're looking for actionable items that the governor or the legislature can start to implement. It does not mean that we have the final result of what we think that end result is going to be. Because the legislature is going to, the governor and the legislature is going to act on some of this. I see the task force or a portion of the task force lasting beyond legislative session is because then once the legislature takes action of some sort and the governor, then that's going to open up a different direction to go a little bit. You know, if, for example, the legislature supports the transmission upgrades, and they want to look at different natural gas options, and they're going to put a clean energy standard in. Then next year we know what three we can focus on moving forward. I don't think we're looking for the end answer. We're looking for scenarios that still need to be answered down the road. And so I don't think we have to have everything with a kind of a bow on it at the end of the day. And I don't know if Andrew's still on or not. And I see he is. Maybe not.
If we're up to me to answer that question, I would say it's both. I would hope that, similar to Carl's point earlier, yes, we could go back through this and say, sure, we don't need the presentation on the summary of the utility working group on cooktail and gas supply because that information is already out there. Mm-hmm. It's on the site. If we had unlimited time, I think it would be helpful, just like on transmission. Dave Burlingame recently gave an overview of Alaska transmission to the RRC, and it went over really well, and it really helped those that are not in the industry. At least that was the feedback I received. I think that we have enough information. For example, I would have no problem with the task force, and I hope we would consider supporting the Dixon diversion, the increased 50% increase of Bradley Lake, subject to it being economic. And we can't wait to determine that. So far, as we've peeled back layers of the onion, it looks like it will be. So I don't know why we couldn't make a conditioned recommendation that it should be supported. And what I think that means in the near term is that the state continue to provide funds to further that analysis. You could take that further and say, we think you should support, maybe under these circumstances, list them out, completion of the FERC license for Susitna-Wautauna. There are gas issues that I think we can, we can make recommendations on. And then I think there's probably a fascinating one that's going to be multifaceted around transmission ownership, state and federal dollars, that has to be linked to an economic development effort to increase the denominator. The reason is, I pushed that one is because I'm optimistic that we're going to see some federal dollars come out of that. Then it's going to be a matter of, okay, what do we do with them? Or how do we get the match? And so we might as well, based on what we know, make a recommendation. I think this is the group that should do that.
Absolutely. And I don't think we should be, I mean, nobody can sit here and tell me that they did economic analysis on $2 billion of broadband build out in rural Alaska. You know, I mean, we've got to do some, build it, and they will come. We know we need a better, stronger grid in Alaska. I mean, I've tried to build two mines at the long end of the, you know, extension cord. And Dave Burlingham is the guy that we've used over the years to do all our modeling. And I've, you know, torn those reports inside and out, and I know how weak our transmission system is. And we need to just say, regardless of whether we've got EVs, heat pumps, gas, wind, solar, or anything else, we know the state needs better backbone. And let's get on with it. So I think those are the kind of things we shouldn't be afraid to do, that we are actually compelled to do and asked to do as being part of this group.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you at all. And the one thing I don't want to do, and I don't think that's the intention of this group to do, is we have some low-hanging fruit that we're already working on. Let's embrace it, and let's make that part of the report, because I would hate for us not to mention Dixon or transmission or Bradley or Sustainable or things that are actually happening, and just say, well, we're already doing that, so we're not going to put this in this report. Because I think we need to take that low-hanging fruit and put it in the report also, because it is still going to take a lot of effort to get it across the finish line for not only the legislature, but for the governor, because we need to show that support of what we're doing. And really, the utilities have done a great job and of analyzing, and they know the background on the rail belt, forward and backwards. So we, with that and James Burlingame and the transmission, we could make a case with just Burlingame of how we need to upgrade the transmission line and the required project work on Bradley. We already have money for it. We're going to go get more money for it, which we're trying to do through the GRIP. Might as well take, you know, we want this GRIP funding. We need to apply for additional funding to make this a reality.
Did Jen?
So, yeah, go ahead.
Just a thought, maybe we need to see who's got hands raised, but just a thought for the committee would be maybe we shift a bit and really focus on a day of more or less a strategic planning, because it sounds to me like with the timeline we have access to a lot of information, and it's probably the time, based on the calendar, to sit down as a group and really run through the, you know, what is it, you know, what are the things under affordability, or what are the things under resiliency and reliability that, you know, need to happen based on the factors that are already known. Transmission investment, natural gas fuel supply. I don't know the future. I wish I did. I wouldn't be doing this. But I don't think you're going to find a better group to help lay the foundational blocks and describe some exciting, bold, you know, futures if we choose to select them.
Yeah, I'd really welcome the opportunity to get everybody, together face to face and have some of those discussions over a long afternoon or an entire day for that matter. I think we need to do that, and I think it's really good of us to do so.
That sounds great to me. I think, yeah, given our timeline, we definitely need, a focus half day, or I mean, I would be a proponent of a full day. And I think I hear what you guys are saying, that there's probably some pretty obvious recommendations that as a subcommittee we would vote to support and recommend. And then I just don't want to miss, I feel like we have some things that are in front of us and projects that are in front of us, but I also don't want to miss, you know, my understanding and the remit of this group is to say, well, what are multiple scenarios of how generation, transmission, and storage could be? And I think if we just look at, like, what's in front of us and what's been looked at, we're going to miss possibilities of how we could be doing it. And so I guess I would caution, I don't want to get too grounded or biased in what's been, and just stick to that, because I feel like this task force was tasked to look at multiple options and say that multiple options are all possible. We're not going to pick one, but let's describe the pros and cons of those multiple futures. And so I just don't want to get too biased towards what's been and miss what could be.
Well, I think that's the short-term, mid-term, long-term planning aspect of this, right? In the short-term, you know, they haven't been done before because maybe they weren't feasible before, but, you know, maybe in a few years they will be, and we should be absolutely looking at that. And that's what I feel like we should be coming up with. Let's address the issues today, plan for how we're going to change them tomorrow for a better future for Alaska, and then implement it over the long term.
No, that's not, and I think, yeah, a lot of those things, they are the long term, and I like the idea of what are the tangible things that we can take action on now that just make plain sense. So yeah, I totally hear you guys on that. Well, let's see, I guess, Michael, I'd be curious to hear, you know, you do a lot of planning work in your line of business. I guess, do you have any advice for us?
No, I think everything you're saying is, I fully agree with, and, you know, just with the timeline that we have, I know when we first started this process, I said, a comprehensive statewide energy master plan typically takes 1.5 to 2 years to do. So, you know, think of this as more of a kind of a strategic plan, the high-level visions that we know that the legislature can take action on, and, you know, there will be legs and a life after this initiative, you know.
Okay, great. I do see multiple hands going up. Nick Barrett?
Yeah, just real quick. I'm wondering, there are some really, you know, good suggestions that have been made, and a lot of data and information's already, you know, been collected. So maybe one of the things that this meeting could focus on is what are the major impediments to the various, you know, recommendations, whether they are near-term or long-term. And then when we identify those impediments, we can see if they are on a critical path for, you know, any type of, you know, combination of solutions. And once we define those impediments, we can then also provide, you know, develop approaches to minimize or reduce those impediments, like what is needed. There were some legislative or you know, governance aspects. Are they, you know, standing in the way? Are they the main roadblock? Yes, maybe, no. And then we can tackle those impediments and focus on that as well. Over.
Thank you. And, Tony, I can't see everyone whose hand is up, but I think I saw a couple others go up.
I thought I saw Mark's hand go up once or twice, but I don't.
Yeah. I just wanted to pitch in and say, you know, you guys are, you know, you've already said this, and Carl was really getting at it, that you know, this group has been assembled because of your expertise, your experience, and therefore, you know, the governor, I believe, is looking for you to exercise your judgment to say, here are the, you know, the top 5-6 things that we recommend, you know, you move forward on, right? And you guys have named them today, you know, throughout this meeting. And so I think that's the that's where we want to put our effort, right, is to identify those you know, key 5 or 6 recommendations that are bold. You know, you talk about this potential to, you know, combine all of the rail belt utilities and, you know, put it under one roof. You know, that's a pretty bold recommendation. Do you have all the facts, all the data for that? No, but in your general judgment, you can see that would likely be a cost-saving measure for the folks who are serviced by those utilities along the rail belt. So again, I think that's where we want to put the effort, you know, in the time remaining, not necessarily today, but, you know, between now and the time it's when we put a report together, you know, so that we can have those key recommendations. And then, you know, as John has said, look at, you know, what does the future look like, and include those as you know, for future study. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Yep, put my hand out.
Jen, we have a comment. that I certainly would endorse from, looks like Aaron Whitney. Can we get a date on the calendar for a day-long session?
Perfect.
How does the 12th look for everybody? Throwing out there.
I am in Vegas for a conference that I would rather not go to.
I'm in Denver for a conference I'd rather not go to.
What does Friday the 15th look like?
I'm available.
I have two appointments, but I can see whatever you move around, but yeah.
I'm in Vancouver.
How about the week prior? 8th.
8th works for me perfectly.
I am on vacation.
8th is the WIN workshop, but I don't know if other people are participating in it. I could actually just come a little late. I have to talk first thing in the morning, but.
How about this Friday?
Oh, I can't do that.
Okay.
The 8th would work.
Didn't work for somebody.
Okay.
John.
What about this Wednesday the
6th? 8th works for me.
No, 8th works.
Yeah.
Oh, it does work for you, John.
Yeah, it
works. Jen's on vacation.
It's me. I'm taking 3 days off, 6th and 8th. And I can't
cancel
because I've canceled the rest of the year.
Hello?
This is my first break.
Yeah, Jen needs it.
Are you gone Monday the 11th, Jen?
Yeah, I'm gone the 11th through the 13th, but I'm back on the 14th.
Good that day. 13, 14, 15 are okay with me.
14 works for me.
13th or 14th works for me.
Yeah. 14th doesn't work for me, but maybe I could change something.
Jen, are you
available? How does the 13th look?
No, I'm in Denver for that 11th through the 14th, but I could consider changing the last day and get back early if the 14th works for everyone else.
I'm here the 14th. There's also, I don't know what the 18th looks like. For people,
that's open for me.
I can make that. I have one call. I have to see somebody, but other than that, I can make it work.
I could do 18.
Yeah.
It's not the best day, but I would make it work.
At this point, I'm going to say, you guys go ahead. That's the only day every year that I have blocked out of my calendar because it's my anniversary. So.
Oh, my.
But if that works for all of you guys, I'd say.
So, no. Why, John, you're important to this. So, what, I'll change.
That works, September 22nd?
I was going to say, it sounded like the 14th was working for everybody if Carl could change his dates.
Yeah, I'll change my, I'll leave and come back early, and we can do the 14th.
Okay.
I might have to step out for just a little bit in the early afternoon, but otherwise should be able to participate.
Do you want to do it here at AEA or Teams, or how do you want to do it?
I hope it could be face-to-face for this meeting.
Yeah.
I think it has to be face-to-face.
Yeah.
Why don't we, I can host it here at AEA.
Who will facilitate? Is that Michael, will you facilitate, or do we need to identify a facilitator?
So Michael Baker is happy to facilitate. I have to coordinate schedule. But
okay. I think that works.
Okay. No, that feels good. I think it'll be nice to have a full day together.
So we just had 9 to 4?
Perfect.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I think, and then Tony, and I would say for any of the other subcommittee members, if there's any suggestions for how you'd like to structure that conversation on the 14th, please send ideas, suggestions to Tony and I. And then Tony, the two of us can work with Michael to get that set up, or I guess, you know, get the agenda together.
So, Jennifer, one of the things that I was really interested in on your slide that you presented earlier, but I want to say it was it slide 5, I think? I'm sorry, up 1 maybe. So that technology readiness level is really interesting to me. I don't have a good understanding of that and would appreciate some education there.
Okay, great. Specifically on the generation types or all those storage?
Well, both, really.
But John, I go to this MIT Energy Initiative program every year, September, October.
Right.
It's maybe 10 electric utility CEOs, and they take you through, I've seen the fission reactor, I've seen them make fusion, I've seen them weave PVC into clothing so you can charge your cell phone while you're walking down the street. This last year, I think you're right, this is a good idea, and here's an example, you triggered the thought for me. Last October, they said the only way to meet carbon neutral by 2040, they picked two technologies, and they said fusion better be available, or this deep millimeter wave drilling, where it was a geothermal at like 12 to 20 miles deep that you could do anywhere on Earth. Now, a test well hasn't been drilled yet, but it's really fascinating when you hear about all of these, you know, technologies. Even the latest thing that we're hearing, and I'm sure there are groups that will disagree with me, and I'm fine with that, but I'm reading where even if you put all your eggs into wind and solar, it's got a 20-year life, and the likelihood the technology advances beyond that, you know, you don't look at it the same way. You don't look at it like a thermal generation plant, which is a 40-year plant. So I'm not saying any of it's bad. I'm saying you have to factor some of that into it. And I think it would be prudent for us to leave room for technology development that,
yeah,
you know, 10-plus years is, because none of those things like fusion is going to be around in commercial before them.
That sounds really exciting, and I, you know, almost as excited as I was when I thought I was going to get an invite to that MIT thing, but it didn't go that direction, so.
Erin, do you have a comment?
Could I just ask for a copy of these slides, Jen? Is that possible? To send to
group? I'll just reply all. And yeah, I think, and maybe this, maybe we will treat this as a menu of a brainstorm and reply back if there are topics you'd like to preserve, going into the 14th. That would help Tony and I kind of guide the interest of the group on different topics.
Yes. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Jen would, or for anybody, would Gwen Holdman be a good person to address technology readiness levels, or is there somebody, because I don't, you know, please don't take what I'm passing along from a year ago as, you know, what's cast in stone. Who would be a party that maybe could speak to us for a bit on that one?
I guess that's where I was kind of hoping for, like, a more from a general industry, whether it's Black and Beach or,
there you go.
You know, to prepare just like, hey, guys, here's a table with different technologies. Here's their permitting timeline. Here's their dollar per kilowatt hour, and just kind of put that information in the room. For the record, solar has a useful life of 40 years.
What about a national lab person? I mean, we might actually already have that information compiled somewhere from the national lab. I could dig a little bit there and get back to you. And Jen, I assume, or Tony, you're talking about energy generation sources, technology readiness levels, as well as storage, I guess, for that matter. Is that what you have in mind?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Let me see what I can find. I'll follow up with you offline.
Thank you. Yeah, it seems like this is information that exists. We just need to kind of put it together.
Yes. Let me see what I can find.
Okay, and I know we're at time here. I will take action to send these slides out, and definitely please provide feedback on any suggestions for how you'd like to structure the 14th and any content you'd like to see. Tony, any closing thoughts from you?
Thank you for correcting me on the lifespan. Used and useful life of a solar farm is 40 years. We'll always defer to the subject matter expert. Utilities are not generally, NSTAR is different, of course, but the electrics, in my experience, are not bastions of creativity. We're really good at, making things work that are available off the shelf today. And so I look forward to info from NREL or wherever we can get it. So thanks, Aaron.
No problem. Happy to help.
Very quickly, how would you like us to set up the all-day meeting for as far as invite? We'll do that through Jen Curtis.
Yeah, we'll do it through Jennifer. Yeah, okay. Sure, I can share the email. I think we're already booking the room and get the invite out, get a public notice. We'll get all that stuff done.
Thanks for the help.
Not a problem.
Okay. Well, great. Great to talk to everybody and kind of nice to get our heads together on a path forward. So appreciate the discussion.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.